story told about a farmer who had a beautiful ranch in the Old West. Hi, Gene. Good to see you. And it was a wonderful place, and he had wonderful neighbors, and it was just a fabulous place to live. Well, one day when the farmer was sitting on his front porch, someone came by in a wagon, and they asked the farmer, "We're thinking about putting down roots. What kind of neighbors do you have here?" And so the farmer said, "Well, what kind of neighbors did you have back east?" "Oh, they were terrible. They just were awful, awful neighbors. Cranky, unfriendly." "Well," the farmer said, "you're probably going to find the same kind of neighbors here." The person went on. Sometime later, the farmer was again on his front porch, and somebody came by and stopped and said, "We're thinking about settling near here. We're wondering what kind of neighbors you have." And the farmer said, "Well, what kind of neighbors did you have back east?" And the guy said, "We had wonderful neighbors. They were helpful. They were friendly. We just had great neighbors." The farmer said, "You're going to find the same kind of neighbors here." First guy moved along. Farmer found out later that he settled someplace and found out that he had all kinds of problems with his neighbors. The other guy settled close by and also discovered what a wonderful neighborhood it was, what great people there were. See, so much of what happens to us is dependent upon the attitude that we bring. I don't know about you, but when I'm having a bad day and I go into a store, you know, I'm not really wanting anything except what I want. And I want to get out of there as quickly as possible. And I hope I'm not cantankerous, but I have a different attitude toward the people around me. It's like, why is that line so long? Can't that cashier move a little quicker? Because I want to get on with things. But when I'm having a really, really good day, I'll go into a store with a great attitude. I was at Publix yesterday just picking up a few things. And I was in an area with, you know, laundry detergent and dryer sheets and that kind of stuff. And there was this woman, and she had her cart, and I had my cart, and she said, "I just don't understand where they're hiding the deodorant for rugs, you know, that stuff that you sort of sprinkle on the rugs and then vacuum up." And I said, "Well, I don't know, but it seems to me it should be here somewhere. Let's go look." And we went looking. Never did find it. I said, "I guess maybe you need to ask somebody else. I'm not having much luck." But I'd gone to the store with a good attitude, with a helpful attitude. And it wasn't that, you know, she was in my way because I couldn't get to my Lysol spray, you know. It was she was looking for something and couldn't find it. The scripture reading this morning from the beginning of the book of Acts talks about the early church following Pentecost. And one of the marks of that early church was, you know, in essence, how they were known in the community, how they were seen by others, was how they cared for one another. And so as we're moving through September and we're talking about the four missions of the church, we have now come to the third one. So let's see the power slides. My PowerPoint presentation. We have a vision statement as King of Peace MCC, and it is, let's read it together. As followers of Jesus, King of Peace MCC will be a community of radical welcome as we passionately celebrate the unlimited nature and power of God's love. Woo! And we have a mission statement. And it reads, let's read it together. We are a diverse faith community called to live out the good news of the gospel In all our actions, we strive for excellence in spiritual growth, personal development, and stewardship so that we can share the blessings of God's love with the world. Yay. So, as we move from having 40-plus teams to having four ministries, we've discussed two of those already in the previous 2 weeks. We've talked about mission and discipleship. This week, we're going to focus on caring, and next week, we'll talk about worship. So, our definition of caring is this: to reach out with love and grace to those in need, to nurture our facility so that our spiritual love and peace will connect us to God, really connect others to God as well. That's what we're looking for. And we have a number of teams already in place that come under this category, so many that the print is really small. And they are, obviously, congregational care, food for friends, the hosting team, the human outreach team, which serves this afternoon at Beacon House, by the way, I forgot to say that, our home prayer team, our kitchen team, newcomers, peacemakers, prayer partners, the building team, Holy Grounds or Groundhogs, I'm never sure what it's called, our sanctuary cleaning teams. You know, we have people that come in and clean the sanctuary on occasion because it needs to be cleaned. Saturday morning cleaning, who cleans a good bit of the rest of the building. All of these teams come under the mission and ministry of caring. There's a word that's coined by Luke as he wrote Acts, and that Greek word is koinonia. Some of you may have heard of that word before. It's a certain kind of fellowship. One commentator has said it is this: that koinonia is sharing more than common beliefs and core values. When you are a community of koinonia, it displays a profound regard for one another's spiritual and physical well-being as a community of friends. As a community of friends. I like that definition. The early church, because they believed the end of time was so near, you might have caught this in the scripture reading. Because they believed the end of time was so near, they held everything in common. They actually were socialists. I'm not asking us to be socialists. Let me just put that to rest. They did that because they had a certain attitude about their time in which they lived. They felt as if the end of time was near. It was coming at any moment. And it might. But we continue to live in the world as it is. But because they had that sense, they began to hold everything in common. It was about sharing with one another, about caring for one another, especially for those who had need. You know, so for those who had much, someone had little, there was a sharing that happened so that everyone had everything in common. William Barclay said this in his commentary on this passage: they felt a responsibility for one another. They felt a responsibility for one another. And isn't that what caring is about? When you care for another person, you feel a certain sense of responsibility for one another. That's true, I think. It should be true, at least in the life of the church, that we care for one another, that we feel responsibility for one another. Why do we do that? I always go back that because God loved me, and because everything that I have is a gift from God, I therefore should love as I have been loved. And so I try to share the love that I have experienced of God and from God with others. That's what it's all about, sharing God's love. That's what caring is about. Another commentator has said that it's about loving our neighbors as ourselves. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? You know? That we listen for God's voice, not always just our own. Ooh. You know, and that's about, it's, you know, some people say it's my way or the highway. Nope. You know, we listen to one another. We learn from one another. We consider ourselves to be subject to one another. Here, I like this one. We practice kindness. Kindness and charity. You know, there's just too little kindness in the world, isn't there? You know, just too little of it. If you can't love somebody, at least you can be kind to them, right? You know, I would hope. We bear each other's burdens. You know, when someone has a burden, we share that burden with them. When someone is sick, we pray for them. We forgive one another rather than bearing grudges. We forgive one another rather than bearing grudges. Oh, my Lord, the church needs that, doesn't it? You know? One of the reasons the early church was so successful was because people looked at how they were with one another, that they cared deeply for one another, that they loved each other. And that was unusual in the world of that day. It really was people scraping to get whatever little they could get. You know, almost like two-year-olds. I lived with a two-year-old once when I was in college. I lived in a place where the women lived on the second floor and the guys lived in the basement. We had a married couple in between, and they had a little girl. And for one of the years that I lived there, she was two. And everything was, "What's that?" Which was zat, you know, asking questions about the things around her. And the other thing was, "Mine. It's mine." And hopefully we grow out of that. You know? I get a sense that we don't always grow out of it. Just by your response, you know? You know, when you marry somebody, what's mine is yours and what's yours is mine. Supposedly, you know? I don't know. I like to think that that's the way it works, you know? Who knows? You know? When we come into community, when we come into fellowship, when we come into church, we care for one another. We care for one another. We have a sense of respect for one another. We are kind to each other. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have differences from time to time, amen?
Amen.
You know? But at least in our disagreements, we can be kind with each other because we are commanded to love one another. So caring becomes one of the four ministries of the church. Maybe it should be the first one. I don't know. But certainly in the book of Acts, when the first church was being formed, they cared for one another. And we would hope that through all the centuries, churches have continued to do that. I think people are drawn to churches where people care for one another. And we had to figure out where to put care for the building, too, because the building is important. It's where we come to worship. It's where we come to meet one another. It's where oftentimes new people find us for the first time. If we didn't have a care for our facility, it probably shows that we don't care for each other, and we certainly don't care for the new person walking in. Amen?
Yeah.
And caring, you don't have to join a team to care. Isn't that a great idea? You know? You don't have to be on one of those teams to care. Hopefully, we care all the time for one another. So, that's it. Pretty simple, I think. Not too difficult, is it? To care for one another? Reverend Jake sometimes, you know. We're working on Jake. You know. We're working on him. Jake may have a cantankerous personality, but he's got, but look inside. And there's a heart of care in there that's deep. May that be true for all of us, amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. God, we thank you and we praise you for drawing us together into community. From the very first, you knew that we needed to be with one another. You drew a band of disciples around you to care for one another and to care for those that came to them. And after you were raised from the dead and sent your Spirit, that early community cared for one another in ways that just astounded the people around them. May caring be who we are. May it be a caring that is deep and a caring that is broad, so that when people see us, they can see your love and they can see Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen and amen.